My people, thank you for tuning in to About Nothing But Sports. Another week. I'm excited that you guys are here with me. I'm your host, Ashley Baker, and I got a good one for you guys. I'm telling y'all, I have loved this woman since I heard her voice. I have loved this woman since we have crossed paths in this sports world. Take it away.
Hey, Ashley, first of all, you trained us, right? So let me do this. I got to speak to the host. Let me speak to the host of this show, Miss Ashley Baker. Thank you so much for asking me to be on your podcast. Like, it's a thrill and an honor. So just to introduce myself to all of you out there, I am Lady G. That's, you know, hopefully you only see Lady G here. I also have my alter ego, Ms. G. So Ms. Gina only comes out when I hear slander about Lamar Jackson, those Baltimore Ravens, like it's going to come out, but, because it's just you and I, we conduct ourselves like young ladies. I think it's just going to be Lady G,
but I don't know. I think so too.
I think so too, but Ashley, you can be a little bit messy sometimes, so. She's going to be on guard. She's going to be on guard, but.
Listen, I'm really happy to have you here, right? So Lady G to y'all, Miss Gina to me. You know what I'm saying? I've been calling her Miss Gina since I met her. That's my homegirl, man. We met via Twitter Spaces, which you guys have been hearing throughout the last couple of weeks. I am very, very heavy in the Twitter Spaces, and particularly in Raven's Flock is where I'm pretty sure we crossed paths in one of those Raven Flocks. Spaces. So she is, listen, it's a new name. I mean, it's floating around Twitter. I've been being funny, cracking jokes. I mean, they're calling them the Baltimore Ginas at this point. Okay? Because she ain't allowing no slander for those Ravens. She's not allowing any Lamar Jackson slander. So quite naturally, I'm going to have her on About Nothing But Sports to talk Ravens, to talk Lamar Jackson. We are right here at training camp.
Yes.
The preseason is a couple of weeks away. The regular season is a few weeks away from that. So we got a lot to dive into. I'm here right in D.C. You're right there in Maryland. I'm in Baltimore. So, you know, we're right up the belt.
Down the street, just up the street.
Around the corner from one another. So, you know, a lot of my listeners are tapped in, tuned in, and listening to what's going on in the DMV area. So I felt like you were the perfect voice to lend us that insight. So I'm excited.
Let's get it.
So I definitely want to start with you. I like to introduce my audience to the person. You did a great introduction, but just to tap in a little bit more into Miss Gina, Lady G. So how long have you been a Ravens fan? How long have you been a sports fan? How did you tap into this sports media lane? Because for real, at this point, you're definitely in sports media. You do podcasts, you do shows. People are literally following you everywhere on social to get Ravens content. So just give us a little background as to how you got to where you are now.
Okay. So by trade, I'm actually a registered nurse.
Okay.
I've been a nurse for about 30 years now. And a full-time caregiver. I take care of my mom. I take care of my brother. My mom is handicapped. My brother is special needs. And you know, I take care of them full time and I work from home.
Okay.
So, you know, the Ravens, you know, they came into being 1996, right? We didn't have a football team for some years before that because, you know, that other team decided to sneak out in the middle of the night. But who cares? I really didn't care for them anyway. I was a kid. I was younger. Them. And so, but when the Ravens came, it was like, cool, we got a football team. You know, because we had not had a team for so long, I wasn't really following football like that so closely. But then when we got the team, I was a little excited. You know, they hung around for a few years. And then probably around 1999, I started getting more involved and following the team more closely. You know, then we won that Super Bowl in 2000, right? But then we let most of the team go, pissed me off. So I kind of fell off from watching it again because I was mad. Like, why would you let a Super Bowl winning team walk out the door? Like, what's going on?
That's how I go.
So I was like, wow. So I kind of fell off here and there. But then eventually I began to just keep talking about the Ravens and keep talking about football. And it got so bad that my friends were like, can we talk about anything but football? And I'm like, but why? Why don't you want to talk about football? And so I was like, I got to find some more people. So, you know, I have my brothers and everything. I was like, I'm going to need to find some more people. But I did give it some thought. She was like, what happened? She was like, you like football, but you seem to have fallen off a cliff. So what happened? How did this happen? So I literally sat down and I thought about it. And you know what took me off the cliff, Ashley? Going to the games. If you go to football games, it takes you to another dimension. I guarantee you, your love for the sport will increase exponentially.
It does.
When I actually started going to the games, it took me all the way away. And so that's when I became like hardcore. And it was really just the Ravens. I didn't care about anybody else. I was just all about the Ravens.
Right.
But then it just spread. So now I just love football, period. I'm interested in all the teams. I want to talk about all the teams. And so literally me doing this on social media is just because I was looking for more people to talk about football with, because it really was just my brothers, like my nephew. We do like fantasy and stuff, but not my mom, not the rest of my friends are not interested in football. And so when Clubhouse started, I originally started over on Clubhouse. And then when Twitter Spaces opened up, it was like, hey, well, let's just try Twitter Spaces. Spaces are magnificent. It's so easy to engage over here because everybody in sports, they're on Twitter. I do literally consider myself a social media sports personality. That is who I am. I just want to talk about football all day long, every day. And that is what I do in Twitter space. And that's why I'm up in your bomb spaces, because we can talk football and have so much fun. And if you guys don't tune in to Ashley's spaces, then you are missing something. So much fun, so much football. And we have such a good time in there.
Yeah. And I always enjoy your insight and enjoy your input. And, you know, it's always, again, unless we come in for the Ravens flock, it's unbiased, you know what I mean? And, I kind of consider y'all, you know, family, like my internet family, like my sports internet family. I mean, I can't tell y'all on average how many hours I know I myself spend in Twitter spaces
and
how many hours you spend. So when you invest in that kind of time with the same people, you know what I'm saying? Like bonds are formed.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And we haven't even, I mean, Twitter spaces really came around at the end of last year.
Right.
We haven't even had it for an entire foot. So going into this season, it's going to be nuts. I'm really excited.
Girl.
I'm really excited. And Ms. Jenna has Twitter spaces going herself. You know what I mean? She has a huge Ravens following. It's always real football talk. It's not a lot of casual takes. It's not a lot of hot takes. I'm interested in seeing how y'all gonna act though, like in y'all spaces when y'all lose a game.
Ooh, if we lose a game.
Oh God. I don't know. I got
y'all.
Y'all schedule is pretty easy, man. I we already went through the schedule on one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say easy, but definitely not as challenging as previous schedules, that's for sure. Because we finished in fourth place last season. Yeah.
She's been modest. It's pretty lax. She know her team. They're going to come back healthy. Come on.
Yeah.
It's Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. The defense is going to be crazy. She's been a bit modest. I'm going to let her be modest on the show, y'all. But she know for the most part, they have a favorable.
Well, we're going to get into that though, right? We're going to get
into that. Yeah. We're going to get into that. But the schedule do look pretty good for y'all. So I'm excited, you know. And tomorrow night, just to throw it out there, well, tonight, for those that are listening now, there's a Sports After Dark space that myself, Mark, and Young Heavy are hosting. And it's the state of the AFC. Yeah, it's the state of the AFC North, man. So Miss Gina will be there. I will be there.
Come through, y'all. Come through.
Absolutely. Ravens flock, Bengals, Browns, and the Steelers, of course, will be there. So it's going to be exciting. So one of the things that we're going to likely touch on in tomorrow's show or spaces is definitely we're in the middle of training camp, man.
Right.
Training camp started. All teams are officially, you know, doing their thing at their respective camps. What is there any news or what are you liking that you've seen? I know, you know, some fan bases are seeing full practices. Some are seeing clips. things like that. What are you liking that you're seeing from camp so far with the Ravens?
Okay, so we're seeing clips. That's all we're seeing. But of course, the Ravens had a bunch of injuries last season. So almost unprecedented. So we're really interested in seeing what are those guys looking like. Now, most of them are actually on the PUP. So they're not doing the full workouts. They're at the camp. They're exercising, you know, on the field, working out with trainers and stuff, but just not actively doing the, you know, running with the players. But I do suspect over the next, you know, couple of weeks that they're going to be trickling off. So that would be like J.K. Dobbins, our running back, Gus Edwards, our running back, and Justice Hill, our running back.
Okay.
We also have our left tackles, Ronnie Stanley, who's been out basically a year and a half now. And then that also includes Marcus Peters, number one of our top corners. And so all of those guys, hopefully I'm not forgetting anybody, they got hurt last season. Yeah, hopefully they'll be trickling off of PUP somewhere, you know, as we go, as the days and the weeks go along, and we'll actually get to see them. I don't expect to see a lot, though, until the season starts. I think they want to keep them, preserve them, you know, give them the best chance to finish healing and be able to start out slow in the season. Obviously, the main thing that people talk about is who?
Him.
Timothy Jackson. Lamar Jackson, he is him. So, you know, our QB1 is there,
yeah,
working hard. You know, everybody's probably seen clips where he's buffed up now, you know, put on, he's about 220, I think he said, looking good, looking healthy. He did his off-season training with a special quarterbacks coach. You know, we got to see some of those clips on Instagram and Twitter and all of that, working on his mechanics, his throwing motions, practicing different types of throws, you know, over the shoulder back throws and all that kind of stuff. So he's putting the work in.
Got it.
So he looks great, and he's doing great in camp. Obviously, the contract, that's something that keeps coming up. You know, I've been in Twitter spaces fighting for my life.
Fighting for your life.
Every life about the contract. All our lives, Ravens flock has had to fight about when is Lamar going to get signed. But he is continuing to say, you know, they're in open negotiations. He's using language now that I've heard in his last couple of weeks that he hasn't used before. So previously he's been, I think, a little more vague, like, you know, we're in conversations. But this week, today, actually, he said, you know, well, we're still negotiating. That is the first time I heard him say
that. I did see that.
We're still negotiating. He has not used that word before. So it is an active process that is going on. And just hopefully we can get a meeting of the minds before the season starts, hopefully before the preseason even. So they're actually working on it. But, you know, when you have two parties, they both have to come to terms. And I don't know why people don't understand. Both parties need to agree to the same terms in order for there to be a signed contract. So obviously there are some things they're still going back and forth with. He's negotiating his own contract. Y'all out there watching this podcast, his mother is not his agent. Please stop saying that in spaces. Please stop tweeting that on Twitter. Please stop saying it on Facebook. Lamar Jackson represents himself. His mom is not his agent. Y'all, please, just stop, boo, stop.
So let me ask you a question, Miss Gina. So did the Ravens kind of shoot themselves in the foot here on waiting on this deal? Because now Kyler Murray has gotten paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is he at, like 46 a year?
Right,
something
right.
Like that.
He got guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah, he's like at 46 mil a year. So, I mean, how do you feel like the state of the front office is? You know what I mean? After kind of they dropped the ball there, man. They were supposed to have been done this deal, and now they're gonna really be. I mean, before the deal, what was it looking like? Like, what do you think that he was gonna be looking for before the deal? Before Kyler's deal, had they signed Lamar?
DeSean Jackson. It might not have been fully guaranteed because I don't think our front office is going to do that. I think that Deshaun Watson's contract is 100% guaranteed at that amount of money. I do not think that's going to become a norm. It hasn't been a norm. And I think that's going to be considered an outlier. And so I know a lot of quarterbacks are going to be looking for that. I don't know that that's going to become a trend. But the amount that he got paid, it would have to be at least that. I would expect it to be more. And I would love to see at least 90%, 85-90% of his contract guaranteed. I think that would be reasonable. Like, if it's only 70%, I don't know that he would be happy with that. This is my guess. This is me talking. He hasn't said anything. But so I think somewhere between 85% and 90% of the guaranteed, he would probably be okay with that. Because I don't think they're going to do a fully guaranteed. Kyler's was what, 240, but 230 was guaranteed, exactly. Or something or other. So something like that. So he's still getting paid a tad bit more than what Deshaun was. And so Lamar's would need to be, you know, a little more than what Kyler's getting for sure.
And he's, you know, for those that don't think that he's worth it, shut up, because he is.
Exactly.
Like, he's worth what the market is. Like, let's just, you know, for those football folks that just need a little more knowledge on it, that is what the market is. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to get paid at market value. It's no different from, I think D used a great example in Sports and Coffee. If the houses are set at certain market values, you're gonna pay what the market value is for the house, you know, like, you know, or, you know, you can sell it for that. You feel what I'm saying? So you know, folks need to come up off that. Recently, though, there was a top 10 quarterback list that Lamar was left off of. I think I discussed this with maybe a guest or something prior to this. I could be tripping. I do so many. I'm in sports spaces. I'm on different shows. I'm interviewing people. But that was something so egregious to me. I'm like, come on, like, don't leave Lamar out of the top 10 quarterback list. And in any, there's no, actually I was on a show and I was telling individuals, I said, the only thing that would make you leave him off a list is if you are arguing injury, but then Russell was on the list. And I'm like, well, Russell was out for like 4 or 5 weeks with an injury last
year. Right.
So there's literally no reason why you leave Lamar Jackson off of that list. So tell me your thoughts, like, when you first saw it. I mean, it's media stuff, you know, ESPN folks and stuff like that. But of course, the internet reacted to it. You live there on the internet. So tell me your initial reaction to it. And then we're going to move into what your expectations of the team is next season.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's, to me, I'm just going to be frank. It's an agenda. It's a narrative. I fully believe that there are people who do not want to see him be successful. One, because he is himself. He doesn't try to be anybody else. He does not fit the normal quarterback mold, look, expression, dress, like whatever you want to call it. Lamar's being Lamar, and I just think certain people don't like that. Number two, people really just, they think only pocket passers, you know, are successful quarterbacks, and they have a thing about dual threat quarterbacks. I love dual threat quarterbacks, and I have a whole thing that I like to push about dual threat quarterbacks in the NFL, how they're treated, how, you know, they're not given the top O-lines, you know, in the league. They're not given the top wide receivers in the league, but then you just expect them to go out and perform miracles because they are a dual threat quarterback. But you're forgetting the part that says quarterback. So forget the dual threat, they're a quarterback. And what does any quarterback need? They need an O-line so they can have their presence in the pocket, go through their reads and be able to throw the ball to whoever. And they need weapons to throw the ball to. So regardless if you're a pocket passer, a mobile QB, or a dual threat QB, they're all QBs, and they all need the same thing. The difference is a dual threat quarterback can now help you in the fact that if a play breaks down, they're not just standing there like a deer in headlights. They can actually scramble and get out of there, extend the play, and still make something happen. So you're getting that extra bonus with a dual threat quarterback that you're not going to get from a pocket passer. I think it's an agenda. It's a narrative. He does not have an agent. Like I mentioned earlier, I think that is a big thing for people in the industry to see a franchise quarterback be able to negotiate his own contract, and one that is undoubtedly going to reset the market. That's huge. Do you think agents want that to happen? A franchise? It's one thing for somebody like Richard Sherman to negotiate his own quarterbacks. I mean, contracts. He's a cornerback. Or, you know, we also know that Bobby Wagner, you know, does his own contracts. He's a linebacker. We're talking about arguably the most expensive position group in the league is a quarterback. And now you have a franchise quarterback who is negotiating his own contract, and one, like I said, that will reset the market, that's going to give other players ideas. That's going to, like, you know what, maybe do they want that? You know, so I think there's a lot of factors that goes into it. I also think that racism is a part of the reason why. I'm going to be frank about that and ask me, do I care about anybody out there watching this podcast and having an issue with what I said? I do not, because it is a factor. The way that he's treated dual threat quarterbacks in general, but since most of them tend to be African-American, but specifically to Lamar. So I think there are a lot of narratives and a lot of agendas that are going on here. And that's why it seems like just this constant barrage and this constant assault on him, on his skill set, on, you know, how he plays. And the thing that's just terrible is that a lot of the stuff they put out there is just not true. The tape doesn't back it up. The stats does not back it up. But those agendas are continually pushed. And that's what makes it, for me as a Ravens fan, that's why I get frustrated. That's why, what do I say, Ashley? Keep my quarterback's name out your mouth.
Yes, like, you do. All the time, man.
That's why I say it. It's not that I don't expect my quarterback to get criticism. That's not it.
Yeah.
We criticize all of the players. But a lot of the stuff that is said is just rhetoric and is not true. He can't pass the ball. When you say he can't pass the ball, I have no respect for your football knowledge whatsoever, because you have just told me you're less than the casual. You could not have watched any of the games. You obviously didn't look at his stats, because the dude is a passer. Why are you out here saying he can't pass the ball? Oh, he's so inaccurate. Oh, he's this. I was like, you're just repeating stuff. What did you actually see with your eyes? Y'all want to go with the eye test. Did you watch the games? I go with the eye test. How many games did you watch? Well, I mean, I only seen like, what? Well, how are you doing the eye test and you haven't watched the game?
Just an FYI, people, this is Miss Gina in her bag right now. And I absolutely love it. So I'm going to let you, I'm just listening. I love it, because again, it's super informative and, you know, educational, man. And a lot of folks just simply need to be educated. And like you said, in these spaces, I do hear a lot of casual takes. I do hear a lot of people saying the same thing. You know, recently I was defending Lamar when we were talking about like arm strength between him or talent between him and Josh Allen. And I'm like, you're not about to tell me that with eye, which is because that's what y'all want to use, the eye test, because outside of that, they're pretty neck and neck. You know, they try to use arm strength, which then ties into like accuracy. And I'm like, okay, well, Josh Allen was second in interceptions last season. So don't talk to me about accuracy. You know what I'm saying? Lamar is accurate. He can throw the ball. He can get the ball 7 yards down the field, just like Josh Allen can, you know? So, and a lot of times people are just repeating what they hear. And I'm like, okay, all right, fine. If the comparison between players or whatever came, because we love to do that on these spaces, right? We love to compare teams, players, stuff like that. If the comparisons are relatively similar, then I feel like at that point, the stats and stuff, like the numbers and stuff are relatively similar. I feel like at that point, yes, you should go the eye test route. And the eye test does not show me that he can't make certain throws. The eye test does not show me that he can't throw the ball. The eye test does show me some inaccuracy, but that's every quarterback for the most part. You know what I'm saying? So there are a lot of things that I hear on like the ESPNs and the Undisputeds and the get-ups that I hear a lot of people in the spaces say.
A lot of them need to sit down.
Yeah. So what I was about to say, so the life lesson from this little dialogue right here is watch the damn games.
Right.
It's simple. Watch the games.
Right.
Watch it from an educational lens. Watch it from an unbiased lens. And you'll honestly, you know, say, you know, I'll go back and forth and kiki for, you know, the kicks and giggles. Right. But for the most part, like, for that man to have been left off of a top 10 list, that was just egregious. Like, what are we talking about here? For Kyler Murray? Kyler's amazing. Because I want you on my show at some point, Kyler. So this is not a shot to you in any capacity. But Kyler Murray will tell you that there's no reason why Lamar Jackson should have been left off of that list.
It was purposeful. And that's the thing. Yeah. It was purposeful, it was targeted, it's a narrative and an agenda, period.
And I appreciate your openness and your honesty. And on that, you know what I mean? I'm not about to shut that down at all. So let's move to the season expectations, because y'all, listen, the AFC, those yes. that know, the AFC is going to be a tough cookie.
Yes.
There is no, well, I mean, I have my pick of the litter of folks that are, you know, go.
Right.
But honestly, just from a football, you know, media standpoint, there really is like no clear cut who's going to win the Super Bowl next year, who's going to be that top dog in the AFC, because y'all are stacked over there. They are stacked. Right. So your expectations for the Ravens this season, within the division, within the conference, within the league.
Okay. So we'll start micro and then branch out to macro.
Sure.
So on a micro level within our, as a team,
yeah,
I expect that our floor is 11-6 at the lowest and our ceiling is 14-3 and somewhere in there should be good. I think we could come out of like a 12-5, possibly a 13-4, but just somewhere between that 11-14, we should definitely be able to do. So then within our division, I fully expect us to win the division. But I do think that it is open. So the Ravens girl says the Ravens will win this division. The football girl says this division is really wide open. I would say more so between the Ravens and the Bengals and the Steelers. I think people are disrespecting the Steelers right now.
Wow.
And what they're going to do this season. I'm not doing that. I know people want to talk about, you know, well, who's your quarterback, but I want to say, but who's their coach? And who are the wide receivers that they have? And what's up with the defense that they have? Did you look at their D-line? Do you know about TJ Watt? Do you know about Minkah Fitzpatrick? Like, so I think people are really downgrading and underrating the Steelers. As a Ravens fan, I've learned to never do that. With Mike Tomlin and that defense and the other pieces they have, they can get something done. The Browns, to me, are just on the fence because I don't know what's going on with their QB1. And I think with a backup quarterback in this nowadays, with a backup quarterback and how competitive these teams are, that's going to be very tough for them to get there. So I don't know how many games Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended if he is. So it's just hard for me to put a gauge on the Browns. So if Deshaun is there, then throw them right into the mix, and this division is completely wide open. But if they miss, you know, if he's suspended a lot of games, then I would say it's definitely a Ravens, Bengals, Steelers type of thing. But I expect us to win the division. I really do. Now, branching out to the AFC.
Yeah.
It is tough out in these AFC streets, Ashley. That like, it's ugly.
So like,
we got four legitimate teams in the AFC West, right?
Yes.
With the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders.
Yep.
And I heard what you said about the Raiders, you know.
For those that don't know, you know, I'm standing 10 toes. I believe that the Raiders somehow, some way, are coming out of the AFC. Not just their division. They're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl next season.
And see, no, I just can't. The Ravens enters the chat. Like, I just, I cannot.
Of course.
But I have mad respect for the Raiders. That offense is going to be prolific. It really is.
Yeah.
The defense is what I still have a question about.
That's fair.
So that's the struggle for me with the Raiders. But that offense with Waller and Renfro and Tay, who going to stop them, boo? What are we doing over there? So, you know, unless the teams they're going against have some serious, you know, secondaries, they could be putting up 35, 40 points a game easily. And I, in my opinion, they rival who has been known now for this last season as being the number one receiving core. And, you know, the Bengals with Higgins and Chase and Boyd, in my opinion, that combination of Waller and Renfro and Tay, I would take them over those three. And so they're like neck and neck, but a tight end and then those two wide receivers, one great in the slot, one that runs routes all over the field. Yeah. So to me, that's some great. So I understand your thing about the Raiders. I understand it.
Listen, it's not far-fetched.
It's not. It's not. I mean, listen. If their defense can pull it, the defense is going to have to do something, Ash.
The Bengals got there with a jacked-up offensive line. I mean, Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in one game. Like, sometimes you need something that can overcome that. And Joe Burrow was the person that overcame that. And I think that the Raiders offense will overcome the deficiencies of the defense just enough.
Because they can throw the points up. So yep. I don't disagree there. And that's what they're going to have to do if that defense doesn't pull it together.
Yes.
So, with that AFC West, which we could have maybe even three teams coming out of there. Some people are speculating 4. I don't think so, but 2 or 3. And then, you know, we already talked about the AFC North, the AFC East. We know the Bills are in the talk all the time. You know, the Dolphins trying to make it. And I'm not going to count out. I think people are stupid for saying, no, they're not going to do. Bruh, did you see what they did with their team? So, yes, they got to pull it together. They got to put it on the field, but the personnel is there. So, assuming that they're able to pull it together, that team is going to be formidable because they got the personnel. And then the Patriots, like, you can never count out Belichick. Like, even though I'm looking at their team and like, who's the coordinator? Well, where are the wide receivers? Well, what's going on with this? Like, I have so many questions, but I always just get back to, but it's Belichick. So,
yeah, true.
I can never just rule them out because it's Belichick. And then, the Jets got a thing going on. I think they walking around Twitter spaces with their chest poked out, you know, hollering about how they're going to, whip up on the Ravens.
They ready, Magina. I think this is a really good offseason for a lot of teams. So it's just crazy to see certain teams and shout out to them, for holding their teams down, for having faith.
And you should.
Yeah, right. You definitely should have having faith. But, some of y'all need to let's calm down a little bit. Let's just calm down just a little bit. And the Jets is one of them, for sure.
Yeah. But they're gonna do okay,
Yeah, I agree.
They're going to start off 0-1. You're going to start off 0-1. But
Who they see that week?
The Ravens. So, it's 0-1. But, dude, go and win the rest of the games. I'm okay with that. And then you got your AFC South, which I'm calling the Colts to win that division.
I agree.
And I think that the Titans could make it, or they might not, but they might, but I have a bunch of questions about them. And so the AFC is wild. So I think that we will win a division. I think the Bengals or the Steelers will be the wild card.
Okay.
And I fully expect us to get to the AFC. No, let me just tell the truth. I fully expect us to win the Super Bowl, period. It's Super Bowl, not just getting there, winning the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
I fully expect. Yes, that's what I said. I expect the Ravens to win the Super Bowl this season. Yes. So that's my actual expectations, but
Several apps will burn to the ground
if the
Ravens win a Super Bowl.
Because we're going to burn it down ourselves.
I will literally not be available for like
y'all will have to block me. You're going to have to block me on Twitter. I'm telling you right now.
I'm not available. I wouldn't be. I mean, it'd be the same thing if Dallas was sugar. Y'all already know what time it is. If Dallas win, as a matter of fact, the internet probably won't even exist anymore because those haters, they're going into hiding. They're not, Like that's just what it is. So,
when we win this, I'm going up in spaces that has nothing to do with football, raising my hand. They could be talking about cryptocurrency. I'm going to go into space, raise my hand
in the Ravens,
and go up in there and be like, the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
Hey, listen,
you're blocking me, and that's. I'm making a Tinder account just so I can put it in there. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan and we won the Super Bowl. I'm showing up on every social media platform there is.
Hey, I feel that. Y'all are definitely, let me say something. The Ravens flock, it's crazy because I knew that there were tons of Ravens fans, right? But nothing like social media puts that in perspective. Mainly because you have a number behind things, right? So I can go on Twitter spaces and see the numbers. I can go on Facebook and see how many people are in these Ravens groups. You know what I mean? Like there are a lot of Ravens fans. I'm right here in Baltimore, I'm right here in Maryland. So, but y'all have a huge following, huge fan base. One that I can respect it, man. I can respect when stuff pop off and things are being spoken on that y'all don't care for.
What
y'all
happens?
Come out and defend y'all.
Lock up so, in the space.
Yeah. I love y'all for that. MVP prediction.
Yes. This is, man, because just like we talked about.
Give me one from the AFC and then one from the NFC.
It's too many options in the AFC, but okay.
You know, I like to make it tough.
I got to go Lamar Jackson. Like, what do you want me to say, dude? Like, he's done it before. He can do it again.
It's not far-fetched.
Not at all. And if we have the season I think we're going to have, he will definitely be in consideration. But there are a lot of – I can't – like, just saying one for the AFC is really tough because I think there are legitimately a lot of quarterbacks who could be an MVP.
All right, give me a 1A, 1B.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to go with Patrick Mahomes, man. I'm gonna go with Patty. I'm gonna go with Patty and Lamar. But I actually wrote down like about six names and plus like four sneaky picks.
Okay.
All right, I can say I'm okay. Yeah. I got Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts.
Don't make me sick to my stomach, man.
Derek Carr.
That's a good
and pick. Then for my sneakies, I got Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Carson Wentz, and Jameis Winston.
Where is Dak Prescott on that list? You lucky it ain't no mute button because the mute you already know.
I know, but
would be on it.
I have explained to you the reservations I have about the Cowboys going into this
That's
season,
true.
But
That's
they
true.
Can they can really really make everybody a liar, and I want them to. I want them to for the slander that Dak. And the Cowboys get like some of that stuff. People just say stuff about the Cowboys just because it's the Cowboys.
Exactly, for sure.
Like I'm hearing that. I'm like, you just coming in here and saying something just to say something. But I just need to see it. Last season, I felt so strongly about those Cowboys. And I really expected you guys to get further. This season, I just personally don't feel as confident about the Cowboys. So,
I ain't mad at that at all. I feel that. I can dig that. I get it. So no Brady.
Oh yeah. So I had high takes.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I had no Tom Brady and no Aaron Rodgers for MVP this year. I don't think I'm mad at that.
I don't think I'm mad at that. Like them not.
It might be the Young Bucks. It may be the year of the Young Bucks for the MVP this year. It may be the year of the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I would actually be okay with that. I'm not. That does not surprise me. I mean, those two names aren't the names that jump at me when I think of MVP either. To be honest, you know, Brady is my guy.
Right.
But I'm not thinking that. You know.
And girl,
it's so, you know, so
his center went down today. Ryan Jensen got carted off the field.
I know. For those that aren't privy and aren't aware, the center for the Buccaneers went down today, and that's just not good news. Well,
not
yesterday,
a good look.
If you're listening today, it happened yesterday in camp. Right. That's just not good news. You know, I thought that Jensen went down last season as well. Was one of those offensive linemen banged up last year as well towards the end of the year and then heading into the playoffs. I could be off. Maybe it was his left tackle. But either way,
that's a problem.
It's not a problem. We have seen how Brady struggled when even one person is out with his offensive line.
His
so
line has to be straight.
Yeah, I feel bad for Tampa. You got the good news in signing Julio. And stop acting like Julio is washed, people, because he is not. And Tampa is going to show y'all that he's not washed as long as he can stay healthy. But you got that dope news with Julio signing and then the center go down. They did announce that he has a knee injury.
Right.
That's probably
questionable ACL, I read.
It's an ACL. Yeah, most of the time when they – fluff it as a knee injury after being carted off and folks kneeling, it is likely an ACL tear. So we'll be waiting for that news. And
I feel sorry for him. And Ryan Jensen is the OG Raven. So we're the ones that drafted him. And we were actually hoping, you know, before we drafted Lindenbaum, I was hoping they were going to go back and get him.
Wanted Lindenbaum.
So thank God we got Lindenbaum because we didn't re-sign Jensen. He re-signed. So
I wanted
my heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to him. But if they might be calling JC Treader, I'm thinking maybe JC Treader might get a call.
Yeah.
Because he's still hanging out there. He's still hanging out there. Yeah. And by him being the vet, even though I thought I heard that he might have had some knee endurance types of issues or something also, but him being a veteran, I'm pretty sure Tom will feel much more comfortable behind a veteran center, you know, than a young buck for sure. So
that's true.
That can spell, because, you know, pressure up the middle for 12.
Not at 45.
That is not a good look. That is not a good look.
That's a bad look at 45. So listen, again, thank y'all for tapping into About Nothing But Sports. I'm here with Lady G, Miss Gina, to me. And I've loved your insight. I've loved what you've been talking with these Ravens. And as y'all can hear, she doesn't stop. The train does not stop with the Ravens. I mean, the woman know football. The woman knows
football.
She talks football. She know football.
Literally. So,
before we wrap, because I'm not going to hold you too long, I have this segment called Rapid Fire.
Okay. That's
just like an intern name. Like, it's okay. I need to figure out like a segment name for it for sure. If y'all are listening, make sure that y'all submit some type of like suggestions on my Twitter at AshleyBaker_21. Make sure that y'all submit some type of, you know, suggestions for me for this segment, because it really is dope. So it'll be like a this or that or either or segment. I am giving this season of my guest a freebie because I typically will time you in this.
Okay.
I'm not going to time you.
Okay.
So, but I'm just saying in the future, like when you come back on where I said I needed you on, understand you may be timed.
Okay.
All right. Crabs or shrimp?
Woo, crabs, girl. I'm from Maryland. What are we talking about?
All right. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Tom Brady or Peyton Manning?
Woo. She tried to hit right between the eyes with that one. I'm going to go Peyton Manning. I'm going to go Peyton Manning.
All right. Boys and Men or New Edition?
Well, I'm going to have to go with New Edition because there will be no Boys to Men without New Edition.
That's a great point. I'll give you that. That's a great point. Peace or wings? Pizza or tacos?
Pizza. Especially New York style pizza.
Have you had pizza with ranch on it?
I am not putting ranch on my pizza, my spaghetti, none of that.
Listen, if anybody from Hidden Valley is listening right now, I ought to be a spokesperson.
You need to give her a sponsorship.
There's no reason why I shouldn't be on the list of being like, y'all should be, I will do, this could be called the Hidden Valley segment for real, like this and that. It really can't be that. Like, I love me some ranch dressing. I'd never run out. Yeah, and I'm always forcing it on people. I am making people talk about ranch dressing. Specifically,
I'm gonna try it next time. I am.
I want you to try no spaghetti
in the house.
I want you to try no spaghetti first. I want you to try no spaghetti first.
I like the hot sauce part. It's just I'd rather do blue cheese than ranch. I like blue cheese.
It depends. All right. So this is the last question I'm gonna give you.
Okay.
I like thinking off the fly. This is me just like feeling like I'm learning. We're all learning you based on your responses, of course.
Okay.
Mike Tomlin
mm-hmm.
or Tony Dungy?
Woo! I would want to utilize the same logic I used earlier, but I'm going to go Mike Tomlin. But I know Mike Tomlin, part of why he is who he is because he apprenticed under Dungy.
That's right.
I used that same logic earlier, right? For the New Edition versus.
Yes.
But I am going to fall away from that logic and I'm going to go Mike Tomlin because, sis, that podcast that Mike Tomlin did a few weeks ago.
I haven't listened to it.
You got to send me the link. You have to watch that. Mike Tomlin is all that you think he is and a bag of chips. Like, I already had a good idea of how good a coach he is and the type of person he was. You know, we have to stand across from him twice a year And you can just see, you know who he is. But to listen to that podcast and actually hear him verbalize his principles around coaching and the players and how he treats them and how he relates to them and what he does to bring the best out of them and the way he talks about coaching and how a lot of times coaches are making excuses for their lack of coaching skills and they're essentially blaming it on the players. When in fact, your coaching actually isn't just as productive as it needs to be, girl, he broke it all the way down. And he gave like the things he talked about, you can apply to life. Gotta watch that podcast. It is absolutely in my top five. I will put it actually in my top two of the best podcasts that I have ever listened to. That dude is the coach's coach. I feel like coaches need to go and watch that podcast and learn something. Honestly, Mike T is the man. I'm a Ravens girl.
Right.
But you got to recognize the greatness. I don't care. I'm a football fan. And yeah. Mike T. I'm definitely taking Mike
make
T.
Make sure that you send me the link. And in turn, I will make sure that I post the link. So those who are listening and watching, if you haven't seen it, because you've spoken on this podcast before.
Right.
And how great it is.
It's amazing.
I love me some Mike Tomlin as well. You can kind of. Whatever principles and philosophies that he expanded on in that podcast or, talked about, you can just tell when somebody's solid, man. You can tell when somebody is like literally living, how they speak or speaking, how they live or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? You can see that. You've seen it his entire career. So that's a great choice. But I specifically did Dungy and Tomlin for that very reason. So we're going to wrap. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm really... Oops. Hoping that y'all she had a little bit of technical difficulties. I don't know if you see that, Miss Gina. I'm really happy that you guys were able to hear Miss Gina, check her out. Plug where people can find you on social media. That's your camera telling us it's time to roll out.
Right. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
So I'm actually a part of the Undroppables platform.
Okay.
The Undroppables content creators. Hardcore fantasy football. So we're talking about facts, fantasy football facts, stats, and player props.
Okay.
They do all of that. So you definitely injuries, get your info. Like you definitely want to tune into the Undroppables. I'm actually on that platform, but my focus is obviously more just around the NFL and the games, the players, and the other issues related to the NFL. Some of the things we don't like to talk about the NFL. I like to have those conversations. So that's where my content is based around. So I am a part of the Undroppables. You can definitely find me every day in Twitter spaces. I even host my own space or I'll be in somebody else's space having a good time. Follow me on Twitter at She Talks Football. That's one L on She Talks Football. And then also my YouTube channel, She Talks Football. So all of my content is loaded there and also on the Undroppables platform. And this season, I'll be doing something new. I will be uploading the podcast for any guest podcast that I'm on, like what I'm doing right now. I'm going to upload those on my YouTube site too, because, why not? And
I love that.
So I'm definitely going to be doing that this season. I apologize for that.
Just
jumping off. That's really wild.
It's all good.
You so much for having me here.
Of course. You guys can find Miss Gina as well tomorrow night in Sports After Dark because we're talking about the state of the AFC North. And I know that she ain't about to be nowhere but there tapped in with us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. So make sure you're following me at AshleyBaker_21 on Twitter and on Instagram and Ashley Baker on Facebook, guys. Thank y'all for tuning in. Again, Miss Gina, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank y'all for constantly supporting, constantly checking out my content, listening to the podcast, providing suggestions, what you guys do and how you suggest things and support Sports After Dark. Shout out to my co-hosts, Young Heavy and Mark Gunnels.
Yeah.
Make sure that y'all are tapped into us. Again, Miss Gina, I'll probably see you into the spaces a little later.
Yeah, we will be in those Twitter streets.
All right. I appreciate you. You guys know that you know the time, you know the vibes. Same place, same time next week. Thanks for joining.
See you later.